God, we thank you this morning that we can gather here. We thank you for the worship that led us truly into your presence. As we come before you, we want to acknowledge that you are God, that you are worthy of all praise. And Father, we come aware of our own need for you, aware of our sinfulness and our need to confess that and make ourselves right with you before we go any further. And so, Father, we confess those things that we've done that we shouldn't have done, those things that we didn't do that we should have done. And, Father, we pray for your forgiveness. We pray for your strength to go forward. We thank you that you put us within a family that encourages us and supports us. And we thank you for the family, Lord. We thank you for the birth of a new baby into our family this week. And, Father, we just thank you for that. And we just pray for Sam and Sarah, Lord, and the birth of Sean. Father, we think of Julie Brooks' family as she unexpectedly passed away this week. And Lord, as they have the funeral on Saturday, Father, we just pray that you would be with them as they grieve. Yet that hope that she knew you, and so that hope that we have, that this was not the end, but that she has gone to be with you. Father, we think of Roskowskis and pray for them as they serve in another country, in another continent. Father, we pray that this is a time of ministry for the mission that they're with there at Wototo, but we also pray it's a time of growth and development for them as they just see the vastness of your kingdom here on earth. Father, we pray for our day camps as they continue. We pray for the planning that's going into the fall and the kickoff. We think of the 40 days of prayer, and we think of the story that's coming up, and Lord, all these things we just pray for. As we open your word, we pray that you would speak to us through it. And Father, this morning we just ask that you would guide us and lead us in our time of reflection together in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bible with you, we're in Romans chapter 12. This is my 3 weeks through the book of Romans. Martin Lloyd-Jones was a pastor in England, and he was renowned for his ability to take 6 years to preach through the book of Ephesians. I just thought I would do Romans in 3 weeks, you know, because the other side of that. We're in Romans 12. If you got your Bibles, we're going to read a little bit of that. If you don't, follow along in the sermon notes. The passage is printed for you there. Romans 12, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable, for this is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think, and then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." And then he writes, "Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body. We all belong to each other. And in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So, if your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, then be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly." So we've been walking through this past 3 weeks, and Don and I leave on holidays after today, so it ends the series, and next week we have Stephen, and then the week after that we have Peter, and the week after that we have Tyler, so you have a nice change of pace, and you can listen to them, or, you know, the good thing about iTunes, I was just thinking about this, you know, my good friend saying that you have to listen to me over and over again, when I was sort of thinking you don't actually need iTunes for that, because, you know, that's pretty well what I do Sunday morning, too. But the beautiful thing about iTunes, if you download it to your iPhone, it has a double speed function. And you can hear this sermon in only 30 minutes. So there you go. We've been thinking about who am I in this family of God? And I just got a question for you, okay? So we're going to step out for a second. Pretend you're not Baptist. You know, pretend that your hands, you know, don't have ecclesiastical arthritis and they do actually raise up. How many of you, in the major part of your career, you know, those of you that worked, how many of you, when you were in grade 9 and you thought of what you wanted to do, how many of you actually ended up doing that? Just raise your hand. Some of you? Good. How many, when you graduated grade 12 and you thought, I'm going to go to university to do this, how many of you ended up in that career? How many of you, when you finished grade 12, thought you were going to do something and that isn't where you ended up? Interesting, eh? I think we go through some interesting changes in our lives. When I was in grade 12, which was the happiest half year of my life because I never quite finished, I thought I was going to go into a whole different area. You know, when I first started university after that, where I ended up is nowhere close to where I went. In fact, I went through a couple of different transitions. You know, I started out to be a stockbroker, so I went into commerce, and I didn't get very far in that, but my daughter finished the commerce degree for me, so now she's working in business. And then I thought I'd be a camp director, because, you know, I got a little bit more religious. And I quickly realized that there were no jobs in that in Canada year-round, because they only did camp in the summer back in those days. And it really wasn't what I wanted to do, but I have another daughter that does that for me, so she's taken over that one. And then I discovered I wanted to be a pastor. And, you know, some of you are wishing that I'd chosen one of the other two, but I didn't. And, you know, it took me a while to kind of get into there. And I just kind of wonder if that's pretty normal. You know, many of us do that. So I think there's kind of these transition points. And I've noticed that there's three of them, I think. There's kind of when you finish high school. So we have some of our youth in here and our young adults. And they're trying to figure out, what am I going to do with my career? And it's kind of funny. You know, sometimes where you even start university and it's not what you finish in. Dawn started out to be an engineer, and she's not. Others start to be something else, and they're not. You know, it's interesting that way. There's a second one that guys my age are finding, and that is, what am I going to do when I retire? Now that I've done all this for all my life, what do I want to do with, like, the next 20 years, you know, if I'm 55 or 60 or 65 or whatever? Now what am I going to do? Because now I got to figure out, what do I do when I'm not doing my job? And some of you are wrestling through some of that. And then the third transition that's a little bit newer is, you know, guys that when oil hits $48 a barrel start to say, now what am I going to do now that oil is not a good thing to do? You know, and some guys that are laid off or transitioning or just in midlife, we don't stay in the same job all our lives. You know, not all of us work 34 years at the same job before they retire. And it becomes that kind of thing. And I think it's the same in our Christian life as well. You know, kind of, what am I going to do with this life? You know, now that I've experienced God, now that I've come into relationship with Him, what am I going to do with that? Is there something God wants me to do? Is there something that God has for me? And that's kind of what we're thinking about this morning. So I kind of said, I think the book of Romans can just be broken up into three big chunks if you want, and that's what we've done over this time. The first week we talked about justification. We talked about, in order for any of this to make sense, you have to have a relationship with God. And that relationship with God comes because God has done something for us, not because we have done something for God. And the big word for that is justification. God has justified us, if you want. He's made it just as if we've never sinned. God sent Jesus Christ to die for us, that our sins can be forgiven, that we can have a relationship with Him. And it's that idea of the judge. He's declared us not guilty. Not that we're sinless, but He's declared us not guilty. And when Paul says, you know, I was perfect, I was sinless, whatever, he's really talking in that sense, that not that he never did anything wrong, but just that in God's eyes, because God is the judge, has found him not guilty. And so this morning, that's the foundation of what I'm saying. If you don't have a relationship with God based on the fact of what Jesus Christ has done for you, then you need to kind of get that piece kind of put together, because otherwise you're working for something that God wants to give you. The second thing we said, and that's kind of the first five chapters of Romans, say, the next 6 to 11 chapters of Romans is adoption. It's God helping us by adopting us into His family, and helping us to become more like Jesus, more like our big brother. And so it's the big word there is sanctification or adoption. And it's the image of a father where God moves from this judge to this father. And as father, He begins to help us to grow up to be what He made us to be. Now here's my bias. If you grew up in a mainline church, so you grew up in a Presbyterian, Lutheran, United, Roman Catholic, Anglican, somewhat like that, you tended to see, well, not the Catholic, let's leave them out of that for a minute. You tended to see God as Father. Like Dawn grew up in the United Church, she saw God as Father. God loves, you know, God never judges, God never does, you know. Very much in that liberal thing, that God is the God of Father. If you grew up in a conservative church, you know, Baptist, Alliance, Mennonite, Catholic, throw them in here for a minute, they tend to see God as judge. And each of us, I think, kind of leans towards one or the other of those two. And it's trying to hold those two in tension. That's the challenge. And that's what Romans tries to help us do, is to hold those two in tension, that God is judge, but he is also Father. And you can't have one without the other. Otherwise, you get an unbalanced view of God. That wasn't my sermon, but that was just free. But this morning, let's get to this morning. This morning we're talking about, well, if we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and if he adopts us into his family and starts to make us into different people, the next question comes, well, what does he want us to do with the rest of our lives? And that's the story of vocation, which is simply Latin for calling. And vocation is, what are you called to do? And the image here for me is a father giving gifts to a child. And this is what Paul said in that passage that we read. And at this point, I actually do pick up the notes. And we won't read the first part there, but, you know, he's just talking about give your bodies to God because all he has done. And then you will learn the last sentence. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. And I think that's the key thing that we're struggling to do, is that we're to know God's will for us, because I think God has a plan for us. And he's calling us to do something with our lives, and it's unique to us. It's not like he's called all of us to do the same thing. I mean, in a sense he has, but in a sense there's a specific way of doing that. And I think the challenge of the Christian life, and the really hard part for me, and maybe for you as well, the hard part of the Christian life is this: how do I figure out what God is calling me to do? How do I figure out of all the things, you know, whether it's career-wise or whether it's church ministry-wise, or, you know, this morning you got bombarded with, you know, you could serve here, 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 or here. How do you know which one of those is God speaking to you, and how do you know when it's just Don twisting your arm? And that's a hard thing to know. I've discovered God sounds like Don an awful lot, so I, you know, maybe you have that trouble too, but I think the clue is in what we're going to talk about this morning. The clue is in spiritual gifts, because in spiritual gifts where God begins to give us something that we can use for him. And so I think I have three simple points this morning, but if there's more, that's just bonus. So the first one is that God gives us spiritual gifts. And in Romans 12, that last part, just as our bodies have many parts, each part is a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We're many parts of one body. We all belong to each other. That's our family image that we love to use. But in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things. So the first point is that God gives gifts. God gives gifts. God gives gifts. And God gives gifts. So you can stress each one of those three words. And those gifts are unique abilities that allow us to do something for God that we wouldn't be able to do without that. I don't know. I mean, I come back to this all the time, but I had two kids graduate from high school, and I'm very proud of that fact. And I went to two graduations, and I heard the same guy from the school board speak at both of them. And he said the same thing both times. So it's great to have one sermon and just be able to preach it over and over again. And that's why I do it. But what he said to the kids, and you hear this at almost every graduation, don't you? He said, "The world is your oyster," or something like that, which I'm sure they understood. And he said, "You know, you can be anything you want. Don't let stuff hold you back. Don't let your whatever hold you back. You can do whatever you want." And then he said, "The best gift we could give our kids is a passport." And then he said, "The best thing we can do is put a plane ticket in that passport." Well, I like my kids, but there's probably people that did that. But that that talk just kind of offended me in some ways because, you know, you can't be anything you want to be. You have limitations. There's things you can do that you're good at, and there's things you can't do. The Sunday after Christmas, I never preach, and I always go to another church, and it's an interesting thing to do because the Sunday after Christmas, no senior pastor ever preaches. So you know you're going to get someone on the staff, and depending on how big the staff is and what part of Christmas that Sunday falls, is how far down on the staff you're going to get, basically. Nothing personal on the staff, guys. But I went to this church, and the senior pastor was the worship leader, and the worship leader was the senior pastor. And he got to preach that day. They just swapped roles. And I left, and I thought, I'm glad they each do what they do the rest of the year. Not that I know anything about worship, but, you know, the last thing you want, now we had Tyler worship lead worship today, and, you know, Reese will lead it next time or whatever. You don't want me to lead worship. Now, I thought I could lead worship. I mean, I know how to play guitar a little bit, and I know how to sing. They don't think I do, but I do. But, you know, the last thing you probably want is me up here. Now, I have all kinds of ideas about worship, and I give them freely. But, you know, the last thing you want is really me standing behind the mic and leading worship. You know, at a service when I got the mic, I never turn this thing on until I'm getting up here because I'm scared these guys are going to mic me for the song. But there's things I can do and there's things I can't do. There's things you can do and there's things you can't do. And God has given you spiritual gifts, and part of that giftedness is stuff you can do. And He has not given you certain gifts, and that's stuff you can't do. And so the first thing is just to realize that there's things that you can do and things that you can't do, and you can't do everything well. I'm going to nuance that in a minute, but that's the first point. The second point is that we all have gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul, in developing this idea of spiritual gifts in a letter to another church, he writes, to each one, you can kind of underline that, circle it, whatever you want to do to it, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. I love that manifestation. It really means just the gift of the Spirit. So you've got a gift. And we all have one of them. And some of us think, you know, I don't have a gift. You know, like, I mean, there's guys that can lead worship. There's guys that can teach. There's guys that can preach. I wish we had one. There's guys that can lead. There's guys that can do this. But I can't do that. I don't have a gift. And what that passage says is you do. You just got to figure out what it is. And maybe it's a different gift than kind of what you're thinking gifts are. But no one missed the distribution. No one slept through the spiritual gift-giving part. When we became a Christian, God gave us His Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit came and lives within us. And when He came, He brought a gift for us. And that gift is this gift. And that spiritual gift is simply a special ability that God gives to help build the kingdom. And it's, you know, He lists some of them in that passage we read, and we'll look at a couple of them. But they're just gifts that God gives that help build the kingdom. And I think, you know, just a parenthetical thing, part of this thing is that they're both to be used both inside the church and outside the church. You've probably heard me say this if you've been around a bit, but I think we've gone through three ages of the church. The first age was the pastor does everything and the people are there to give enough money to pay him or her, but it was a him back then mostly, and he will do all the work. That was, you know, 100 years ago. And then in the 60s, we discovered, well, the spiritual gifts. And so we said, no, what the pastor does a bunch of the work, and the people help him by doing some of the stuff that they're gifted to do. And that's what spiritual gifts is. And then I think the last couple of years, we discovered, you know, there's a bigger thing, that the pastor can do some things well, the congregation can do some things well, and they're gifted to do that, but they're also gifted to use these things outside the church and the community. They're gifted to be part of things where they can lead in the community and they can make a difference there. And I think we need to use, I call it the 50-50 deal, where 50% of our giftedness and time needs to be spent, you know, serving in church, but 50% in the community, in volunteer places like that. And 50-50 is just a simple way to remind you of that. We kind of like 50-50 here. We kind of wonder about doing 50-50 offerings. It's just a kind of way of, you know, kind of those days when you're saying, what would it do to get more? So we thought, well, what if we did 50-50 offering, you know, and someone got 50%? And then we discover that the government already does that. So if you give to the church, I don't know if you know this, but if you give $100 to the church in your offering today, and you put it in the envelope and you mark it so that we can give you a receipt, when you get that receipt and you do your taxes at the end of the year, the government will give you $50 credit on your taxes owed. You will get half that money back. So the government is on a 50-50 deal with our offering here. And if you really want to tithe, you have to give 20% because you're going to get half of it back. That was a freebie too. But I'm going on holiday and I'm not going to preach for 3 weeks, so I just got to get all these in. Where was I? Spiritual gifts. There's a gift of giving. I hope some of you have it. Spiritual gifts. You know, we need to try and help people. And one of the things we're trying to do as a church, and this is what Tyler's working on, and we're going to be doing this in the fall a little bit more, is just helping. If you say, I'd love to figure out what my gift is, but I don't know what it is, we want to be able to help you. And we want to have someone come alongside of you and just work in a very simple process and help you discern what your gift is. And we kind of use this idea of shape, because spiritual gifts come in a package. And so the first one is your spiritual gift. That is, what are you good at? The second one is your heart. What are you passionate about? So if your gift is leadership, are you passionate about leading in children's ministry? Are you passionate leading a street ministry? Are you passionate about leading a church? Are you passionate about leading a mission? What, you know, where's your heart? Second thing is your ability. Do you have other abilities that go with that? You know, what else you're able to do? If you have the gift of worship, it's nice if you have the ability to play or sing or do something like that. What's your personality type? Are you an extrovert upfront person? Are you an introvert back behind the scene person? I tend to be a Tom Sawyer person, so I like to start things, but I like to give them away really quickly once I start them. Other people like to kind of manage a task for a long time. So what's your personality? How do you like to work with things? And lastly, what's your experience? What's God been doing in your life where you found joy? What have you been doing where you just found the time flew? What are you doing when you finish at the end of it and you think, man, I'm sad that's over? And if you can kind of wrap those five things into something, that's probably where your giftedness is. That's your sweet spot that God is calling you to. And we're going to have some stuff in the fall just kind of following up about that. But those kind of things. So the first point was that God gives gifts, and they come from God, and when you're given a gift, you have an ability to do something. When you don't have the gift, you probably don't have the ability to do something. We all have them. That was the second point. God has given each of us something, and you can kind of figure them out through the shape thing. And then the third and last point is simply this. In spite of that, we all have roles and gifts. And in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says this, now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed. And there's just four different words for spiritual gifts in here, and I bolded them for you. There's different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it's the same God. So notice now we've got the Trinity. Spirit, Lord, Jesus, and God. And to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And I don't know if I want to make, you know, too big a deal about, well, how do those distinguish? You know, what's the difference between manifestation, working, gift, service? I just think that he's using different words because there's some variation in there a little bit. And here's the thing. I think there's at least two levels related to this. And that's the gift itself, which is a special ability where God uses us in significant ways, but there's also a role for people that don't have that gift. Which is simply to say, if you don't have the gift of something, it means you're not fully off the hook in that area. You just don't have full responsibility in that area. So in that passage we read in Romans, and now I'm on the back of your notes, if your gift is serving, serve others well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If you encourage, encourage. If it's giving, give generously. If it's got leadership, take responsibility. And if you have a gift for showing kindness, do it gladly. So the first one, giving, say. If your gift is giving, give generously. Some people have the gift of giving. They just have this ability to give. And you read those stories, right? Letourneau, you know, who gave like 80 or 90% of his wealth away. John Wesley, who never, as his income increased, never took any more than he took at the beginning and ended up giving 80 or 90% of his income away. There's just people that have the ability to be incredibly generous, whether it's 20%, 30%, 40%, 50%, whatever it is. They just have this gift of generosity. Generosity is a gift that God gives to some people. Not all of us have that gift, but we all have the role of giving. And the Bible talks about tithing. And God says each of us is to bring the tithe, the 10%, to God. You don't need a gift of giving to do that. That's just a role that we all have. But there's some people who have a gift of giving generously above and beyond that. Another one there is serving. If you have a gift of serving, serve them well. I mean, there's some people that just have this gift of serving. They just are able to do all these things, and they just have that gift of just, and I could name you people in the church that have that. But there's roles in the church of just doing stuff. There's making coffee. We set up chairs every morning. There's a team that sets up these chairs for you to sit in. There's people who help in the nursery. There's these kind of things. I don't think anybody has a spiritual gift of setting up chairs. It's just a role that we do. Some people have the gift of serving in the nursery, but you know, we need just helpers in the nursery who are just there that love kids and are willing to hold one if it cries and play with it if it doesn't. And you know, it's not a gift. It's something that needs to be done. It's a role that needs to be fulfilled in church. We had a meeting this week. Here's a thing for you to pray about this week. We had a meeting this week about our women's Bible study that meets on, it's going to meet on Thursday mornings next year. And we have these women that come out, and a lot of them are young, some of them are not, but a lot of them have kids. And the biggest challenge we have running this ministry for women in the morning, and it's a neat ministry where we've seen women start coming and come to faith, and it's just a place where people connect in, and it's a place where women, you know, who have kids at home go and absolutely wingnut crazy can, you know, come and be with some other people that are crazy as they are and, you know, kind of spend a morning together without their kids. But the biggest challenge we have with that ministry is simply finding someone who's willing to babysit. And maybe just this morning, you know, if God is just putting on your heart, you'd be willing to do that one morning a month, one morning a week, whatever. It's not a gift, really. A little bit it's a gift, but it's a role. But there's just these roles, you know, ushers, tellers, that kind of thing. Leading. God has given you leadership ability. Some people have the gift of leading. They're able to administer. They're able to do things. They're able to be on boards and committees. But if you're in a family, you have a gift of leading in your family. If you're in a relationship, you have a gift of leading in the relationship. We lead in various ways. You know, we can... Leadership is influence, right? Are we influenced or influencers? And in our little pods at work, in our teams, in our whatever, in some behind-the-scenes ways, we're called to be leaders who bring God's word. And finally, evangelism. And in Ephesians 4, it says, Christ gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Some people have the gift of evangelism. We tend to read about them because they tend to write books and they tend to talk a lot. And, you know, these are the people that get on the plane in Calgary, they get off in Vancouver, and they've led the person beside them to Christ. They've led the person across the aisle to Christ. The pilot got convicted, and he came to Christ. The baggage handler who put their bag on the thing is now going to church. You know, it's an amazing story of what can happen. And there's these people, and a gift of evangelism is someone who can close the deal. They're people that when they talk to people, and we have these people in the church, and we have a couple of them that are over here on Sunday mornings, and they're just people that can very simply explain the gospel in a way that makes so much sense that people say, yeah, that's what I want. And there's others of us that when we talk to people, listen to someone who I respect highly, but I can't remember who it was right now, but there's a lot of people in my life that's that way. It was in a book I was reading, and he says, you know, when I get on the plane and I started talking about Jesus, I leaned over and the guy was asleep. And, you know, that's the way some of us feel about our gift of evangelism, right? And so do I get a pass on that then because I don't have the gift? And I just think it's the difference. What we're called to do is not be an evangelist, but we're called to be a witness. We're just called to talk about our story. I've never been to court, but I've watched a lot of court shows on TV. And I know there's two kinds of witnesses in a courtroom. There's an expert witness and there's an eyewitness. So there's a shooting at the corner. And they have the court trial for the guy that maybe did the shooting. And the first one's the eyewitness. And the eyewitness comes up and says, "What did you see?" "Well, I was walking down the street and I saw this guy. He had this gun. He shot the guy." "What kind of gun was it?" "I don't know. It was black, you know. Fit in his hand." "Okay. What happened?" "Well, shot. Guy fell over. Dead." "Okay." Now the expert witness comes up. What'd you do? "Well, he can explain about the type of gun. He can explain about the bullets. He explains about the speed of the bullet, the stopping power of the bullet. He explains where it went." They get the next guy up. They explain how the bullet hit the body, what happened to the body when the bullet hit the body, all those kind of things. The eyewitness couldn't tell you anything. "You know, I don't think it was a shotgun, but that's all about I know. But it went bang and he went over, you know." You don't have to know a lot to be an eyewitness. You just have to have been there. And sometimes we think because we're not the expert witness, we can't answer all the questions, we can't explain it really, really well. But we don't have to have the gift of evangelism to be a witness. We just need to know our story. We just need to be able to explain, you know, this is what happened to me. And the neat thing about our story is, first of all, stories are interesting. People love to hear stories. And secondly, no one can dispute your story. We had a fun day camp here this week. It was a leadership camp for teens, basically. And the last part of it was an overnight camping trip. And our daughter, Andrea, had been out here, and she'd been leading that part of it. And because of that, I think Dawn and I ended up going on the camping trip. So all of us are sleep-deprived from being on this overnight camping trip. But what were the really cool highlights for me of the thing, besides getting to know all the kids and getting to know the leaders a lot better, was on the Friday morning, we all sat around the campfire because it was like 4 degrees. And we were sitting around the campfire and we were just talking. And we said, let's just have a couple of the people, because one of the assignments during the week was they had to write their testimonies. They had to write their story of how God had touched their lives. And we sat there and listened to 10 people tell their story of how God had touched them. And every one of them was different. People that had grown up in Christian homes, people grown up in non-Christian homes, people that had come to Jesus and never really left him, people that had left him and come back. And it was just encouraging to be able to hear that story. And I just kind of wondered, do you know your story? If someone asked you, like, why do you believe in God? You know, maybe you can't explain, you know, the whole details of it, but you can say, well, you know, let me tell you, I can believe in God because this is where I was and this is what happened and this is where I am. And though you may not have the gift of evangelism, you have the role of a witness. And a witness doesn't have to be able to answer all the technical questions. They only have to explain what they saw happen. And I just want to encourage you, you know, we've been talking about this over the last little while, of this whole thing of invest and invite. You know, just get to know people. Get to know their story. Be willing to tell your story. And then invite them to come to a place where they can learn more, where the expert witnesses can begin to help them through the struggle that they're doing. And we have this kickoff barbecue coming on September the 13th. And it's the kickoff to our whole church year. And we're going to have a service, and then we're going to go out, and we're going to have a wonderful barbecue on a wonderful hot day. And there's going to be all kinds of really cool stuff to do there. And I want to encourage you. You invite a friend to come to that. Is there someone in your neighborhood that would come? You know, I know a couple of people that have kind of got disconnected from church. And here's the point. They're disconnected from church, but they're missing it. But you know, one of the most threatening things to do is to walk into a church you don't know by yourself. To sit all alone in the seat. That's a threatening thing. Some of you do that every week, and I'm proud of you for your bravery. But there's a bunch more people that just haven't quite got that yet. But if someone would invite them and would sit with them and would just kind of be that security, I think there's a bunch of people that'll be willing to come. People that are coming back to church, people that always just wanted to know what goes on in that building. And that's the role we have as a witness, someone who just invites and talks about their story in very non-threatening ways. And so this September the 13th, you know, you got like a month and a bit now to prep up on this. But is there someone that you could be praying about, that you could bring out, that you could just invite, someone in your neighborhood? I was reading the story this past week of a guy that I admire greatly, Elmer Towns. He's done a lot of interesting stuff. And he grew up in a family that never went to church, but this guy came to the house to do something, and I can't remember what he came to do, but he saw the kids there, and he says to the mom, "Do the kids go to Sunday school?" And the mom says, "No, we're not connected to a church." He said, "Could I take them to Sunday school?" Now, Elmer's like 80 years old, so I mean, you know, back in the day, you would take kids without their parents, but the mom said, "Well, they're too young now, but when they start school," this guy remembered a year later to come back, and he brought Elmer to thing, and Elmer became this, and Elmer Towns with, this is why I don't do this off the cuff, was half of the founding of Liberty University with Jerry Falwell. And you know, was the start of, Jerry had the vision, Elmer had the ability. But where did, you know, it was because some guy said, "Does your kid go to Sunday school?" You know, and just that inviting people. Now, today's age, we need to invite the whole family, but just that invitation that makes a difference. Not because I have the gift of evangelism, but because I have the role of witness. This morning, we've been talking about a couple of things. You each have a gift. We need to figure out what that gift is, because that gift is where God wants to use us. That's the sharp end of the spear. But we also have roles. And those roles are areas where we can be doing stuff. You know, the role of serving, the role of giving, the role of witness. All these different roles. Are we able to use those roles in our lives? Or do we need to find places where we can do that? And we'd love to be able to help you if you're just trying to figure out, okay, where do I go from here? There's a card in your thing. You're welcome. Just grab that card, just write on and say, can you talk to me about where I could fit in here? We'd love to help you do that. Tyler, part of his role here is to do that, and all the other pastors join in helping on that. Or maybe just shoot an email to the church office, you know, just hit a reply on the last Wednesday email you got and just say, "Hey, just interested, where could I fit in? Because I just think God has a plan for us. God brought us into relation through Jesus Christ." That's justification. He's remaking us and fixing us, all the broken parts of us. That's that adoption into the family and sanctification. And now he's calling to use us, that we can make a difference, that at the end of our life we can look back and say, "Man, I can't believe it, but God actually used me." And that's vocation. Father God, as we close out, we just thank you for the way you're at work in our lives. Father, you use us when we don't think you should. You give us gifts that allow us to do things that we don't think we can do. You give us these roles that allow us to make a difference just in small but significant ways in people's lives. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the way that you're at work in our midst. I thank you for all the people that are using their roles to serve you. And Father, I just pray that you would help us as a congregation to figure out each of our roles and each of our gifts, that we can even more intentionally make a huge difference for you. Thank you, Lord, that you love us so much, that you would not only give us your Son and not only give us your Spirit, but you would give us gifts that would allow us to help you do the work you're doing of making your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.